Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church.
Amen. Nothing gonna stumble my feet. What a great weekend for sports, huh? What a great weekend for sports, starting off on Friday. Now, I am so thrilled because, my team is really following a very pastoral route this year. We have had years and years and years of winning all our games. And so how tremendous that for the fifth week in a row, we gave the victory to somebody else. It's beautiful. Beautiful. I'm not going to stumble our feet by showing off all the time. So beautiful, beautiful. Good for Alabama fans. Sad a little bit for Barrett yesterday with A&M. Fourth quarter, that was really too bad. But what's it all about? Doug Perry, the creep, texted me last night at 2:15 a.m. Now, I'll tell you, I'm going to bed around 8:39 o'clock now, unfortunately. So I was sound asleep when I get this text. Penn State beats Ohio State. And then, I'm wide awake once I read the text. It was unbelievable. And also, no matter what kind of fan you are, how awesome after 71 years to have the Cubs in the World Series, right? Nothing gonna stumble my feet. But that's not really what the choir sang about sports. What the choir sang about there was that beautiful image of God's power and presence being with us through every season and journey of our walk here on earth and calling us to that eternal presence also. Beautiful, beautiful. Nothing gonna stumble my feet. We are concluding our series this morning on everybody. We began the series focusing on the ways in which God embraces us and calls us and draws us in to his presence. Invited, included, important. And the last half of the series was focusing on the ways that God is calling us to reach out and speak in a different way, to encourage, to lead, to teach, to care. And this morning, to serve. As I was praying about this week, I felt very convicted by this image of a suspension bridge. Not a big, huge suspension bridge like the Golden Gate Bridge, but a suspension bridge you've seen in pictures and maybe you've walked on them yourself between two cliffs or two bluffs or something. A suspension bridge that's just kind of swinging between the two that you walk on. Do you know what I'm talking about here? That kind of image, right? And so on this side of the bridge, we have this image of being with God on that rock-solid foundation. There in the beautiful presence, just being with God. On the other side of that bridge is the call for us to participate with God in sharing God's light to the world. There are times when we need to be on this side and just dwell and sit right in the presence of God. Be loved, be healed, be nurtured, be encouraged. And in fact, some people spend a lot of time in that area. Some monastics spend most of their life in that area, and the power of their ministry is to all of us because they keep telling us about how beautiful the presence of God is. But for most of us, the majority of us, God is telling us to go to the other side, to cross over, and begin to participate in reaching out with that encouragement, with that teaching, with that caring, with that service. We all get that, right? It's pretty simple. The reality is, I think a lot of times we get stuck on the bridge. We get stuck on the bridge. We know we're supposed to go over, so we start to go over, but we get stuck on the bridge. And we see the beauty of God's presence over here, and we know that the call is upon each one of our lives, but we get stuck on the bridge for various reasons. And the real challenge of being stuck on the bridge is when those difficult seasons come. If you've ever seen the pictures of those suspension bridges, when the wind comes between those gorges and the movement of those suspension bridges, how dangerous and scary that looks, and just kind of having to cling on to the rope, to the edge, to just be able to stay there. Nothing about the peace of the solid foundation here. Nothing about the power of the moving forward and bringing light here. It's just clinging, trying to cling. And so God is inviting each one of us to not be afraid and to move off that bridge. To not just dwell over here forever, but to walk in a way that nothing's going to stumble our feet as we get to that other side and begin bringing light and hope and peace to the world. So there's the beautiful encouragement for us in Scripture this morning, turning to Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. Paul writing these words of encouragement by contrast. Oops. By contrast to what? What is by contrast? Just before this, Paul has been writing about the brokenness of the world and the brokenness in our lives. How it's so easy for us to turn into ourselves. How it's easy to harbor bitterness and share anger. Those things of brokenness. And so here he's switching in saying, but by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. God's word to each one of us this day. Paul wrote this letter to a Greek group of people who are living in what we know now as modern Turkey. The issue that they had, because every church is dealing with its own thing, and the issue that these churches were dealing with was they were focusing so much on their Hebrew roots. They were focusing so much on the law of Moses that they were having trouble moving on. They wanted to make sure that they were doing all the right things and following all the right rules, so they weren't able to move on. So Paul wrote to them about the freedom that we are given through the work of Jesus Christ. Earlier in chapter 5, it says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become servants to one another." Another way of saying this, life in Jesus is our freedom, but please do not waste that. The antidote to the flesh is living in the Spirit. The struggle that the people in Galatia were having was this image of freedom. So if freedom is there, Jesus has done anything, then we can do whatever we want and indulge in every self-pleasure that we might think of. And Paul came to them and said, that is not the way to do it. You don't go from one extreme to the other. You move on. And you speak very clearly about this image of living in that freedom. So as we focus and we move forward, empowered to serve, the Spirit empowers us to serve. John Stott takes these fruits of the Spirit and divides them into three different categories. The way we're called to serve God, the way we're called to serve others, and the way we're called to walk ourselves. In serving God, we have love, joy, and peace. In serving others, it's about patience, kindness, and generosity. And walking ourselves, we're called to be faithful and gentle and people of self-control. Do you know this image that he turns to, away from the works of the law to the fruit of the Spirit, can feel kind of passive. The image evokes a different kind of thought of moving from human responsibility to divine empowerment. Using fruit moves away from human responsibility to divine empowerment. And some of us can say, well, maybe that sounds kind of passive. We don't have to do anything. But that's not what it's saying by moving from human responsibility to divine empowerment. Walking from this side to that side, over that suspension bridge, is active. Very active in living that way. It's just being active in what you're attaching yourself to. We began this series with the words that Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If I abide in you and you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit. When you are attaching yourself to the Spirit of Christ, to the Word of Christ, to the truth of Christ, you're living that out in a different way. When you're attaching yourself to things of the world, to the brokenness, to the challenge, you live out in a different way also. Being attached to the divine empowerment of God is not passive at all. It takes a lot of work. In fact, it's very hard. And that's Paul's second point for us here. This is work to participate in the service of ministry. It's work. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, we learn that Jesus had those 12 disciples, and he was missing an extra disciple. And who that was somebody who worked in marketing and PR. Because Jesus did not do a very good job presenting what it meant to be a servant of Christ to us. In chapter 10 of Matthew, Jesus calls the 12 disciples to pair up and to go in the villages. He tells them, don't take anything with you. He tells them, when you go to that place, preach, teach, speak, heal, pray. Boldly go into these places that you don't know at all. And when you go there and your word and your ministry is accepted, give thanks to God. And when you go into those places and you're not accepted, wipe your feet and go away. That's difficult right there. But the PR statement is even worse. He tells us that we're going to be his servants, that he's sending us as sheep among wolves. Sheep among wolves. As servants of Christ, Jesus, God is telling us that we are called to go to the difficult places. And then the last statement that comes out of Matthew chapter 10. After all these challenging things, after then going into these difficult places, Jesus tells his disciples, as he's telling each one of us, that the more we become servants of him, servants of Christ, the more we bear the suffering that he would bear himself. It's not just a sweet little lovely story. Love, peace, gentleness, kindness. Go out and do that. The reality that we're called to is a purposeful and challenging journey to move from this side over the bridge to the other side. The way that we do that is not walk the way of the world. The way that we do that is by abandoning ourselves to God. The way that we do that is abandoning ourselves to the will of God. Martin Luther King said, I want to do God's will. We love that. Charles de Foucauld, priest in Algiers, said, do with me what you will. Mother Teresa said, I want to be the pencil in God's hand. Did you hear that? I want to be the pencil in God's hand. Mother Teresa said that. Now we can all sit here and say, well, I'm not Martin Luther King Jr., and I'm not Mother Teresa, and I'm not anybody. I'm just an ordinary person. There's only so much ordinary people can do, right? Only so much ordinary people can do. And you know what that is? Just as much as anybody else. Just as much as Mother Teresa. Just as much as Martin Luther King Jr. In fact, in that journey of serving, in that difficulty, Malcolm Muggeridge writes of Mother Teresa and the sisters there. Malcolm Muggeridge, who was a British journalist, came to faith later in life and was amazed at the difference he found when he went to visit the Sisters of Charity. And he wrote, "Their life is tough and austere by worldly standards, certainly. Yet I never met such a delightful, happy group of women, or such an atmosphere of joy that they created. Mother Teresa, as she is fond of explaining, attaches the utmost importance to joyousness. The poor, she says, deserve not just service and dedication, but also the joy that belongs to human love. This is what the sisters give them abundantly." So even though we're called to go to these difficult places, whether they're in our homes, our places of work or school, or beyond into the world, as we're called to make that difficult journey from this side over to this side on that bridge, we're called to participate in the joy of that all also. Each one of us, no different. But Martin Luther King Jr., Charles de Foucault, or Mother Teresa? Not at all. In fact, I have permission to share this with you. Bill Iacone died earlier in the month. This is Joe's brother, after a journey with cancer. He'd been writing a journal for some time and specifically went back to journal writing during his last few months. I want you to hear what just an ordinary person, one of us, how they experienced this journey through some clippings that I took from his journal. On May 23rd, "Again I awake with yearning, a hunger, a pain in my heart, which needed to be filled. I prayed that God would fill and satisfy my hunger with his divine gift of love, that he would heal my pain and fill the void within me. So I started my day with Christian reading and journaling, which will be followed by meditation. My being yearns to be filled with your peace." May 31st, "Thank you, Lord. Your mercy and your kindness and yours forever. The more time I spend with you now is producing peace and faith, and that my chest pain is related only to my back problems. I trust in you to heal me and chase out the fear and self-doubt. Your abundant love is present now and endures forever. I look forward to the peace you are giving me this morning and throughout the day. I love you, Lord." Bill. And moving to the other side, he writes, "Dave Robb is experiencing a nightmare of being in bed for 3 months with a breathing tube." This is on June 3rd. "Please heal him. Give him the strength to endure and help him to be whole in body and mind when he returns to normal. Help Gene to survive this. Give him strength. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for your patience and kindness. Thank you for loving me. I love you. Bill." June 6th, "Yesterday was eventful. Heat exhaustion was dramatic. I never felt so weak in my life. I was too weak to think about whether I would live or die. I was in a zone I had never experienced. I heard everyone speaking to me, but I could only respond with a yes or no, or a nod of my head, or a movement of my hand. Thank God I had recovered in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. Talking with my brother Joe helped as well. I stopped thinking of every ache and pain and enjoyed the moment. Thank you, Lord, for being with me the entire time. You saved my life, and I thank you for the love and the mercy that you pour over me. June 10th, I trust and rest in your loving arms, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help me to balance prayer, meditation, study, and the work of living out in your presence. July 17th, our first night home from the mountains last night. It's always good to be home. It helps me appreciate what I have. This is a place of rest where I relax, and I am open to your guidance and see and experience the presence of your love. Love that is always there. All I need do is open my mind and accept it, embrace it, and live with it. Followers of Christ understood Jesus' words and accepted them into their being. When they experienced his love, light, and joy, they were changed forever. The reading this morning said, "Fix your gaze on me, the lover of your soul. Lord, my ears are ringing. My heart is tired with the pain in my back. My focus is fearful. My desire is to embrace you and for you to place your loving arms around me. I love you, Bill." And on August 2nd, at 6 in the morning, he writes, "This has been a beautiful ride. I awake and look forward to reading, praying, and journaling. I know that you will have a message for me today. For some reason, you have a special place in your heart for me. I am honored. Someday, you'll let me know who and what I am that is so special to you. I wait patiently. Be still and listen, for you are my God, my Savior, my path. The meds will kill the pain, and I will feel normal again. I'm too tired and weak to write more now." And his very last journal entry, he wrote, "I am thankful for my journey. I am thankful for my journey is so peaceful and spiritual. Every day I experience God in a new light. I am filled with awe and peace. I am thankful. Amen." And to each one of you, he writes, "I wish that all people could experience the peace that I feel at this exact moment." Everybody is invited and included and important. And everybody, each one of us, is gifted in ways to carry God's light into the world. But remember from Ephesians last week, from Eugene Peterson's The Message, when he said, "Mostly what God does is loving. Mostly what God does is loving." So be encouraged by that as we rest in truth and the solid foundation of this side. And celebrate that love, that you are encouraged enough, empowered enough, and brave enough to walk across that suspension bridge, over that chasm, to this side over here that empowers you to bring light and hope.